I set my course in life with a strong commitment. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I set my course in life with a strong commitment. Do we really do that? Oh, yes, we do. Our commitment is either yes or no. If my commitment is yes, I positively achieve all the goals I establish for myself easily, quickly, and beautifully. And if my commitment is no, then I block every opportunity that comes along to me to accomplish whatever it is that I say that I'd like. Because I set my course in life with a strong commitment. How can we say that we set our course in life with a strong commitment if we say yes or we say no? Well, we set our course in life with a strong commitment from the point of view that when we agree with ourselves, agree with everything in life, agree happily and joyously, we accomplish those things we agree upon. Now, if we don't agree upon them, well, then that's just too bad. We don't get them. If we don't agree upon them, we do not accomplish those things in life that are important to us. Now, I want to go to the store. That's a simple commitment, isn't it? I have to go to the store. I have to pick up some groceries and pick up some items. And so I say, well, I can let it go for later. I can get by without a few of those items until tomorrow morning when I go to the store. Or I can go to the store another time. Now, you say, what a silly commitment. What a silly statement. Yes, it is, isn't it? But this is what we do all the time. This is how we treat ourselves all the time. We treat ourselves with this lack of definition to our commitment. Now, if I say, I'm going to the store, there's no doubt about it. I'm going to the store. What do I want to do? What do I want to get there? I'll make a list. And I'll go to the store and I'll get those things I need right now. Oh, yes, that's a commitment. Now, the next step, do it. I get a telephone call and a friend says, hey, come on over. I want you to meet my brother. He just came in town. Okay, so you set aside the commitment to go to the store. No big deal. You do these things all the time. And then you get back from visiting your neighbor and visiting his brother. And when you get back, then your kid comes in the house and he says, hey, Dad. Yes, son. I want you to play ball with me. But, son, I was just going to go to the store. Oh, Dad. I want you to play ball with me now. See, kids set their commitments very nicely. They determine to get them right away. And insistently, they get them right away. Well, all right, mamby-pamby, you go out and play ball with the kid. And after you play ball with the kid, you come in, and it's not right next to supper time. And your wife says, hey, we're going to have supper in a few minutes now. Don't get started on something else. And so you sit down and turn on the television. And a show begins. And your wife calls, supper's ready, come. And you say, just a minute, I'm right in the middle of this. And she says, I told you not to get started on something. And so she comes in, and she turns off the set, and she says, that's enough of that. I said, dinner is ready, and that's the time we're eating. Come on now. Okay. And again, mamby-pamby, he turns off the television, leaves it off, and goes in for eating supper. Now, this is just a slight scenario of what goes on in our life every single day. We have commitments that we make, statements that we make, determinations that we make, and then we go contrary to them so easily, so perfectly, so simply, so wonderfully, that it is the silliest thing in the world. I set my course in life with a strong commitment. Okay, let's run this through again. You decide to go to the store. So, you make your list, and you go out toward the car, and the phone rings. And you leave the phone alone. You don't answer it. If you were in the car, you wouldn't hear it. You wouldn't answer it. So, what difference is it? And it doesn't bother you, because you make your commitment in life to do the things you're doing at the time you're doing them. And so, you go to the store, and you buy the items you want to buy. And after you're done, you come home. And your wife says, "Sweetheart, we're going to have supper in just a few minutes, so get washed up and get ready to come in and get the kids all in here." And so you go out and get the kids. "Come on, Dad, let's play ball." And you say, "After supper, right now it's time for supper. Come on in, get cleaned up." You set your determination step by step to do those things that you choose to do without anything pulling you aside. "But Dad, I want to play ball with you right now. But Dad, come on, come on, let's play ball right now. Come on, come on, come on." "Son," I said, "after supper. Your mother's got supper almost on the table, and we want to go and get ready for supper." "But Dad, I want to play ball with you. I don't have a chance to play ball with you very much. You know, you're so busy. You've always got things going." "Son, I told you I'd play ball with you after supper, and I mean it." "All right." So supper's over, and you talk at the table for a few minutes. And after you're done talking, you go into the living room and turn on the TV set. And the boy says, "Dad, we're going to play ball." "Oh, son, I got to hear this special news broadcast. I got to hear this special story, or this is the time for my special story. Dad, you said after supper we would play ball. Now, Dad, come on, let's go play ball. Come on, Dad. Dad, don't you keep your promises? Dad, come on, let's go play ball." And, of course, you're a new man now. You're establishing new priorities for yourself. And you said, "Okay, son, I told you we'd play ball after supper. Let's go and play ball. You want to play ball in the park or you want to play ball in the backyard?" "Well, we play ball in the backyard. We play catch." "Okay, so the two of you go out in the backyard and you play catch. And you play catch for about 20 minutes and you're perfectly happy, both of you. And after you're playing catch for about 20 minutes, you say, "Boy, oh boy, that was fun. That was wonderful." Sort of determining that that's now the end of the game of catch. And the boy says, "Well, Dad, I learned so much from you when I play catch with you, because you're always giving me little tips on how to catch the ball and how to throw the ball. And you know, because of that, I got on the team at school." "Well, wonderful, son. I'm proud of you. That's great." As we follow the commitments that we make, as we follow the course in life with a strong commitment, we will find that everything works out in a harmonious way for us. All the things that are important to us, all of the joy, all of the wonder, all the magic that's important to us takes place. But when we are not committed, when we are allowing ourselves to break our commitments, that's even worse, isn't it? When we allow ourselves to break our commitments, what happens to us? Well, when we allow ourselves to break our commitments, then what we do, we don't like ourselves. Really, we do not like ourselves when we allow ourselves to break our commitments. And the reason that we don't like ourselves is that we are not somebody we can depend on. If we are someone we can depend on, if we are someone that no matter what circumstances are, we follow through on what we say, no matter what's going on. Now, you say, "Okay, you're going to play ball with your kid. You told him you're going to play. You're playing ball." And your wife comes out and says, "Dear, I think it's time for me to go to the hospital. I'm ready to have my baby." And everything stops. Does it? No, you just keep playing ball with the kid. You say, okay, sweetheart, we'll be right with you. And she gets in the car, and you play ball with your kid for another 2 or 3 seconds, and you say, well, son, what do you think we can do? Do you think we should keep playing ball, like I promised you, or do you think we should take your mom to the hospital so you can have your baby brother? Oh, let's go to the hospital. Well, I can't take you there, but I can go with your mom. Okay, Dad, you go. Mom, have a wonderful baby. Mom, go ahead. And you see, then you've kept your commitment. You've made a slight variation in it. But you brought your son into the commitment with you of a new commitment. And he is perfectly happy to see you go to the hospital with your wife to have this new baby in the family. Now you say, well, that's a rather dramatic clause. That's a rather dramatic change. Yeah, most kids would agree to that, certainly. Well, not a matter of most kids. It's a matter that you have a commitment. And when you break that commitment or change that commitment, and you see, it's not so much of breaking the commitment, but changing the commitment. Now, when you change the commitment, it should be harmonious with everyone involved. And when you do this, and it is harmonious with everyone involved, what takes place? What takes place is that you like yourself. You like what you're doing. You like it. Well, how many times does your wife have a baby and you're playing ball with your kid and you have to break the commitment? That's not the point. The point is, no matter how serious or how important, and some things are very important, no matter how serious or how important anything else might be, the commitment that we have made, no matter how unimportant it seems to us, or no matter that it should take the last rung of the ladder when it comes to running to the hospital to have a baby, it is deserves to be handled with integrity and honesty. And if all of our life, we set our course with a strong commitment, and we live these commitments, we will find that every desire of our heart manifests itself in its beautiful form. Now, you'd like to have, well, let's just say independent wealth. That's always something everyone seems to find very enjoyable talking about. So you want to have independent wealth. I'm independently wealthy. Okay, you have the opportunity to train your mind to be independently wealthy. Now, you say to yourself, but I'm not independently wealthy. I do not have a lot of money. I am just struggling to get along on all the things that I have to take care of, and I do not have the money to get along as well as I'd like to. I'd like to be independently wealthy. And so it is. But a person who is independently wealthy does not say they do not have. A person who is independently wealthy does not go around moaning and groaning over the fact that they don't have. The person who is independently wealthy is always living in the abundance of independent wealth, always living in the abundance of having sufficient for all the things they desire to have. The person who lives in independent wealth is the person who always is recognizing that every choice they make is a choice that leads to the fulfillment of the desires of their heart. Now, you say, well, that doesn't make me have a lot of money in my bank account. That doesn't make this. That's very true. That doesn't make you have a lot of money in your bank account. But it's the start on the road to having a lot of money in your bank account. If you can train yourself with every thought you think to think abundance, to think that you do have abundance, your whole life is filled with abundance, your whole life is filled with every good and beautiful thing. You see, training yourself to think this. And you do it by putting an affirmation in motion, I'm independently wealthy. putting an affirmation in motion, I am abundant. Putting an affirmation in motion, I follow through with my strong commitments. When you have these strong commitments, when you have these affirmations, when you have these statements, you are building a new you, a you that lives your commitment. And your commitment is to have independent wealth. Your commitment is to always follow your commitments. And you always follow your commitments by thinking them. If you think, I do not have, then whatever you have won't make any difference in the world. You can have everything you could ever want, and if you ever say you don't have, it'll soon be gone from your vision, from your awareness, from your experience. And it's gone because you have allowed it to believe that it's not there. What? I allowed it to believe. It's like talking that those things are something real. Those things have a life of their own. Those things have a consciousness. And those things, they do. They do. They are real. They have a life of their own. And they have a consciousness. And when you deny them, then you do everything in your power to keep them from coming into your world. When you commit yourself to them, when you say that they're wonderful and good and beautiful and it's what you are, then you commit yourself to enjoying them and having them at every turn of the meal. It's up to you, it's up to me, what we're going to do with the commitments in our life. And if the commitments in our life are dog-eared, if the commitments in our life are things that change by the drop of the hat, when your son says, come on, Dad, let's play ball. Okay, I'm not doing anything else right now. I'll play ball with my son. But your wife had asked you to get the baby bedroom ready, to get those things ready when she is in the hospital having the baby. And you're so excited about having a baby, and you forget about everything, and so you're playing ball with your son. You know, we do things like that. We do stupid things like that. And what should you be doing in preparation for this? Well, if it's that close to having a baby, you've done all the preparation work already. You've gotten the diapers, and you've gotten the pabulum, you've gotten the stuff that you're going to use. All those things you've gotten already. You're all ready to bring home that baby as soon as it can be brought home. And then, after that's there, and after you've welcomed the baby, and after you've made everybody feel happy, then you go play ball with your son. You say, come on, son, let's go play ball. And your wife says, I love it the way you work with the children. You are such a wonderful husband. But if you don't do that, if you worry about how the baby is, if you worry with your wife about anything, then you have wasted your time. You've wasted your time, and you've wasted your energy, and you've wasted your experience, and you've wasted everything. Everything that could have been so beautiful and so good and so wonderful now is down the drain. We do that to ourselves. We take our life, we take our world, and we put it down the drain. We set our course with a strong commitment, and then we allow ourselves to change that commitment from the strong commitment into a weak commitment, into a commitment that is going nowhere at all. Why do we do that to ourselves? Why are we allowing ourselves to be such mamby-pambies? Why are we doing that? Well, from the time we were children on, we've never learned commitment. We've never learned to self-discipline ourselves, to determine ourselves what is our value, what things are most important for us in life. From childhood on, we have learned to get away with what we want. Now, I say to the staff here at the University of Healing, the Absolute Monastery, I say, okay, now, you have a dream. Now, what is your dream? And they don't know. I say, you have a goal. Now, what is your goal? I don't know. You say, you know, they're telling me, They're telling me they have goals and they have dreams and they have desires and they have wishes that they've never fulfilled. And I say, what is this? And they don't know. Well, you can be sure they will never experience those don't know dreams, goals, desires. They have no idea what it is that turns them on. Now, for us to set our goals, to set our life, to determine what our values are, it takes a moment or two. It takes a little bit of decision. It takes sitting down and saying, all right, now, I would like to be a good bridge player. And I would like to play bridge, you know, among the best of them. I enjoy playing bridge with my wife, and when we go out and we have fun with our neighbors and with our relatives, and we play bridge together, and it's just really a rewarding event. But everybody else wins, and I'm sort of the dummy all the time, and I don't like that. I don't like that. I want to know how to play well. So I am going to teach my boys how to play bridge. I'm going to teach my girls how to play bridge. We're going to play bridge as a family, and I am going to tell them all of the techniques for playing bridge that are so wonderful. I am going to share with them all the wisdom of playing bridge, but I'm going to have to read up on it. I'm going to have to study up on playing bridge. I'm going to have to talk with friends who play bridge and ask them what are some of their techniques for playing bridge in a very effective, beautiful way. It's not just a game. It's a training field of commitment, of being my very finest. Now, it could be driving the car, it could be playing bridge, it could be fishing, it could be golf, it could be taking care of my home, taking care of my yard, it could be all sorts of things. But I want to be the finest gardener in the world. I want my gardener on my home to be glorious and beautiful. And you don't say that. You say to yourself, I like gardening. I like gardening. And of course, everything you do then is going to come up gardening. You're going to go to the store, you're going to go to the Home Depot, and you're going to shop there, and in the gardening department, you go into Target's gardening department, your Walmart's gardening department, Sears' gardening department, all the gardening departments and all the stores that have gardening departments. And then you're just going to talk to the clerks and you're going to say, what kind of plants would grow well in this soil? What kind of plants would grow quickly? And they love to tell you the thing because they think you might buy it. And you might. And so they spend some time with you telling you about plants, telling you how they grow, telling you how to take care of them. And before you know it, you're just fantastic. You talk to your friends about bridge, and they know you have an interest. And so they discuss some of the idiosyncrasies of bridge and some of the magic of bridge. And before you know it, you understand bridge, and you play a very passable game of bridge. Not only passable, very excellent. You take an interest in something. You take a commitment to know about it. And that means you're going to have to do a little study. You're going to have to do a little attention in that direction. And when you do attention in the direction of your commitment, you can be sure your commitment's a winner. When you know what you want more than anything in the world, when you know what your dream and your goal and all these things are, and you follow through on them, then they're yours. But until you do, until you make your commitment, a strong commitment, and follow through on that commitment, you'll never achieve the dreams of your life. But the dreams of your life are right there, right in front of you, waiting for you to follow through on your commitment to live them, to love them, to delight in them. And you know, that's what life's all about. So, this day, affirm you follow your commitment successfully, wonderfully, and well. And know that it works. I love you. I love you. I love you.